Hello, this is Dalia Masanchi, writing coach for social changemakers, public speaker, and author of Writing to Make a Difference, 25 Powerful Techniques to Boost Your Community Impact. Welcome to Writing Wednesdays, always your free opportunity to get essential writing tips and advice, as well as get and give feedback on a wide range of documents that you are asked to write. By working together as a virtual community, we will help each other improve our pieces and better engage our readers. On Writing Wednesdays, we always discuss several tips of the week on the selected topic, and then we go no later than about 45 minutes past the hour. Sometimes we review samples that were submitted for that week, and in fact, that's what we're doing this week. Sometimes we speak with a special guest, and sometimes we even do a writing exercise together. Today's topic is grant writing, and specifically, we're going to be offering group feedback on letters of inquiry to foundations. But before we get to that feedback segment, I want to share some information with you just very briefly to kind of set the context for our discussion today. And if you go to the website, writingtomakeadifference.com, you should see right there at the top is a blog entry concerning today's Writing Wednesdays call. If you scroll down past the logo, past the beginning text, and go down to where it says downloads for the call. I'll give you a second to get there. Okay, let's click on the first one there that says sample grant proposal format. If you click on that, you should download automatically a PDF. This is a one-page outline that I like to use and I like to share with folks that gives a very basic sample of what to expect when funders ask for your letter of intent or your full proposal. Now, it says at the top that this is only a sample, of course. You want to go according to whatever requested format a funder has. And a letter of intent or a letter of inquiry is usually about 3 pages, sometimes as little as 1 page. These days, a lot of it is being done online, so we don't really have a page count. It's more like a character or a word limit that we have to abide by. But we could, just for the sake of discussion, we can say about 3 pages. Now, the rest of this document talks about, in detail, what to expect in a proposal. And a letter of intent is kind of a truncated version of this, and even shorter would be a cover letter that accompanies the full proposal. But for today's discussion, we're going to be focusing on LOI, or letters of intent, which is basically hitting the high points of what you would include in a full proposal. Now, I wanted to share this with you as something that encapsulates the type of information that you want to make sure you get somewhere in your proposal. Your letter of intent is going to just be kind of a summary of this. So let's look at it very briefly. Under narrative, that's 5 to 10 pages would be the full proposal length. Okay, so we have, I put things into subheads, which are very common. And again, if you are writing a specific letter for a specific funder and they offer you subheadings, you want to use exactly what they say. So, for example, you will be looking at something like number one about your organization. You might use another subhead like mission and history or background, something like that. That would just give the very basic highlights of your background as an organization. And notice the third bullet point here, your organization's unique capacity or skills, because that's really what you're interested in highlighting. What makes you stand out? What makes you so perfect for the project that you're going to propose? Then under number two, just a little bit of summary information about your clients, demographically or otherwise. Then number three is super important. It's the need. What pressing community need are you dealing with? And I listed here the types of information that you're going to want to include in that: facts, figures, statistics, who, what, when, where, again, in a very short, summarized form if you're talking about it, the letter of intent. And also this bolded line I put in there, importance of the issue. What's at stake? Or why should anyone care about that issue? Another way to say it would be, so what? Why is that such a big deal? Now, we in the nonprofit sector, in our organizations, we know why it's such a big deal, right? We work with it every day. But people outside of our organization may not know. So we want to make sure that that features prominently in our letter of intent. Then we move down to number 4, the project plan. Basically, the goals and objectives that you have for your project. Now, a goal is more long-term, and an objective is more specific and short-term. Usually, it's going to be achievable within the funding period. So if you're asking for money, let's say, for a one-year grant, then you'll want to have specific objectives that can be achieved in that one-year period. Okay, if we move down to number 5, evaluation criteria, that's really directly tied to the one above, the objective. So how are you going to evaluate your success at the end of your grant period, say 1 year? How are you going to measure them? And if you've set up your objectives to be measurable, then that should be super easy to do. Then we move down to 6. Staff and volunteers. Again, in your letter of intent, you're going to really summarize this, or you might not even need to. Depends on what the funder asks. Usually, I don't go into detail in the letter of intent stage in staff and volunteers. I'll only do it if they specifically ask. And then financial plan. It's always a good idea to have some mention of that in a letter of intent. You probably don't need to go into a lot of detail, again, unless the funder specifically asks. A lot of funders do not ask for a project budget or any specific financial information at the letter of intent stage because they're simply screening you. They don't want to have a lot to go through, a lot of material. But they may ask for a one-page budget to attach to your letter of intent, and that's fine. But in the text of the letter, you'll want to include some mention of the sources of income for your project. And then number 8 is just a brief conclusion, brief summary, and repetition of what your request is. Okay, the other attachments, usually those, as I said, those are going to be at the full proposal stage. Now, if we go back up to the very beginning of this format, this one-page PDF, what I wanted to emphasize was at the beginning in A, when you're not going to do a cover letter to your letter of intent. Your letter of intent actually is a letter, right? So it's going to have salutations, signature, etc. But you want to make sure that first paragraph is kind of like your introduction, your summary. So it's going to summarize the basics, what I call the proposal's basics here. Who you are, how you qualify, what your project does and why, how your project fits into the funder's priority areas, and how much money you're seeking, right? So you'll have all that information right up there at the top so that if the first paragraph is the only thing that your reader reads, you want to make sure that they get the basics. Let's go back on our browser, go back one page, and it should bring you back to the writingtomakeadifference.com website. Okay, and right under sample grant proposal format, which we just looked at, is sample 1. So let's move into our sample review section today. So sample 1, and I will give you a few minutes to read through this. Now, you're going to pretend that you are a program officer, someone at the foundation, and you're going to skim through this letter. So you're not going to take more than 3 or 4 minutes to read through it, and that's kind of generous. So I'll give you 3 minutes, and you're going to kind of try to get the meat out of what this letter says. You're going to look for two specific things. You're going to look for what was really great about the piece, what really stood out for you as, wow, this is really giving me the information I need. And the other part of it is, what do you think could be improved in the next draft? Some suggestions you might have for the writer of this letter. So I'll give you a couple minutes, 3 minutes, to read through this and think about those two things as you read through it. Take another 30 seconds. Okay. All right, folks. What I'd like to do with the feedback on samples like this is to really hear from you all as people who are brand new to this topic, who have just had a few minutes to kind of try to soak up what you can from the piece. And I recognize you as all experts at what is meaningful to you and what you'd like to hear more about. So I'm going to turn it over to you for a few minutes to hear what you have to say, and then I will come in after you and give my thoughts. So who would like to begin?
This is Thomasina. I was just going to chime in with it seemed that there were a couple places where, I mean, there's a really good use of good statistics here in this letter about the need that's being they're trying to fill here, but there's kind of places where it gets a little bit repetitive that with some mm-hmm. of the statistics that they could kind of tighten that up a little bit.
Okay, good point.
And while the statistics themselves are kind of useful, they're not really kind of appealing necessarily to the human need, human emotion there. So if there could be some way you could kind of tug at the heartstrings a little bit with this, that might be without getting too maudlin, maybe kind of make it more personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you feel like the statistics are a little impersonal and kind of dry?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, I could see that. Maybe they could offer a success story or something to kind of
mm-hmm.
flesh it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Great. Excellent. Any other thoughts, Thomasina?
I think that's kind of the two things that jumped out at me.
Uh-huh. Okay. Perfect. All right. How about others? Janora, perhaps?
Dathia, you know, they really don't talk about the track record, you know, some tangible results. You know, they specify all the needs, all the various programs, all the choices, you know, to come out of poverty, out of homeless, but they do not, like Thomasina say, you know, the human element or the psychological effect on these people, you know, once they are helped or they, you know, they are provided this level of assistance, what happens to those people, you know, because... You know, I mean, so the track record, so more tangible, some specifics, you know, like, so what? What difference? What difference did it make in their lives?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good point. Excellent. Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think you have some great insights there. I'm just going to add a few things, kind of jumped out at me. The first one was, I really liked that in the first paragraph, they go ahead and name the amount of the request, the $30,000. But I'm not sure that $30,000 is going to do anything significant for the number of people that they're trying to reach. So I'm not sure, like, is this a fraction of their larger budget or not? That would help me kind of put it in context.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I do like the fact that they put the number right there out at the beginning there. Then going through it, I noticed that they didn't use any subheads in the letter, and that I think that would have made it much easier for me to skim if I only had 3 minutes. You know, so that's a technique that I always recommend to help your reader read your piece as quickly as possible. So subheads can really help with that. Let's see, another, I could just go through, just make a few comments here. Okay, so in the second paragraph where it says, over the past 5 years, our services have experienced an increase of approximately 1,000 annual requests, I'd love to know what percentage growth that is. If it's 1,000 out of 100,000, that's not that big of a deal, but if it's 1,000 out of, like, 1,500, that's definitely a big deal. So I would want, you know, I'd like to have a little bit more detail there. They cite some, I believe they have something here. All clients served in Butler County, over half were women, 60% were involved with the criminal justice system. But they don't tell me the source of that information, so I'd love to have a citation there. They use some great numbers, and I just, in general, would love to make sure that they're citing whatever whatever percentages or statistics they're using. I also saw some repetition in the letter, as Thomasina did, and I would recommend that they, you know, go through that and get rid of that. I also agreed with Denora in terms of the so what. I think they're great on their facts and figures, but I wanted to know, it just raised a lot more questions for me than it answered. For example, how does it compare with other nearby counties other than Butler County? How is this affecting Butler County and its residents, the problem that they're dealing with? And if they have any other demographics to share about the clients that they serve, that would be helpful. Just to, again, to get more clarity about what exactly they're dealing with. I did find some statements in there that I wasn't sure were entirely relevant also. I think that's toward the bottom. Let's see, third paragraph, before it starts in with the numbers. Over the past 5 years, we have witnessed 14 pregnancies and one late-term miscarriage. Clearly, there's a need to address the challenges faced by the homeless in our community. So that was part of what we would call the need statement, right? So I wanted to see that fleshed out more. Like, why is that? Why is it important to have the services on site as opposed to off-site? You know, just a little bit more of the so what or the why behind what they did, what they're doing, and how did they come to that decision of the way that they're addressing the need. Okay. I believe it's the second page, they go into the programs. They list the programs. And I liked having a list, a bulleted list. That was great for me to read quickly. But I wasn't quite sure when I was just skimming through them. I wasn't sure what the distinction was between the different programs. So I would want that to be a little clearer, again, for someone who's unfamiliar with their work. That's kind of an occupational hazard for us in the nonprofit sector. We become so familiar with our work that we kind of assume that other people are also as familiar, and it's not true. So we have to be very clear and spell out everything. I also agree that success stories would be lovely, at least one success story here, to show the short-term and maybe even the long-term impact of their work. Okay, excellent.
May I say something real quick about this?
Oh, yeah.
I was reading that, and, you know, they use very ambiguous language. For instance, you know, life skills, and then, you know, economic stability. You know, those are big words. You know, I mean, you have to be specific. Like skills, like what, you know, and mental disorders. And, you know, one thing that would have been extremely helpful to really determine where this agency fits in comparison, you know, in relation to the Federal Government Assistance Program is, you know, what sort of things the government does and where do they come in place and what specific services, and then itemize the budget.
Excellent. Yeah. Definitely. It would be nice to really see how the organization fits in with what else is available to the community. Yeah, great. Great point. Okay, let's go back to our browser on writingtomakeadifference.com. Go back one, and it should bring you back to sample two, which is from Thomasina. And
yeah.
I'm glad that you're here.
I originally was going to see if I could stay anonymous, but since I'm going to have individual attention, I might as well make use of it.
I also wrote it.
Well, but you know what I did? I went through it. Let's open sample two, and I took away the name of your organization. So at least your organization is anonymous, and we don't know who you are. I mean, you could be going by an assumed name, right?
Sure.
Okay, so let's take a few minutes to read through this sample too.
Thomasina, this is ironic. Let me tell you something. I just started reading some of your, and I'm dealing with that issue. I'm dealing with a very serious, very massive pipeline project in Georgia, you know, in the state of Georgia. And that's precisely what we are doing to preserve the ecosystems, wetlands, water bodies. We are working with some green groups because, you know, I'm the greenest person you probably have ever met. And we have a lot of endangered species, so we are fighting that huge battle as I'm speaking with you now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I bet. That sounds...
Yes. So, I'm going to look you up.
Well, thank you for mentioning that, because that's another benefit of doing this kind of thing. As a group, because you never know who you're going to meet.
Yes.
So let's take a few minutes to read through this.
I'm sorry about the interruption.
No problem.
No problem. Now, I don't know if you read through it again, Thomasina, with different eyes, but hopefully you'll be able to integrate some of the tips that I shared earlier and perhaps some of the insights you gained from the other person's people to work on yours. And let's see. Denora, do you have any thoughts to share with Thomasina?
I think it's excellent. You know, she really conveys, you know, we really need to pursue our stewardship to protect, you know, the species, animal species, fishes, you know, just the ecosystem, period. I like the fact that she mentioned that we should not depend on the bureaucratic entities or organizations or nor state agencies to do that. You know, we have to take an initiative. I like how she emphasizes, you know, how critical the salmon is in terms of nourishment and value, you know, for potential biologists and so forth. One thing might be helpful, you know, if I was looking at that, I would like to know what equipment she's going to buy, you know, a little description of you know, specifically what it is and how much she needs for that. What's the life of the equipment, you know, if it's going to be an ongoing and then, that's basically it. And, you know, the closing needs to be a little more proactive, in my opinion. But that's about it. That's it. I think it's extraordinary, beautiful. It's excellent.
Okay, great.
Great. That's really interesting, Denora, that in just the few minutes that you had to read it, you got all of that, and I had a little bit longer to read through it than you did. And she does, in the letter, talk about the roughly $5,000, and there is a little bit of a description about the specific equipment, but you didn't pick up on it. And that's important. That's what we need to know, because someone skimming this letter may be just like Denora and miss it.
Yeah.
So we don't want that to happen.
Make sure that doesn't get buried,
Right.
Yeah, definitely. That was a good insight. Did you have any thoughts about the letter as a result of what we've talked about so far, Thomasina?
Well, I think that maybe because I was just kind of working from what I had and some boilerplate that had been given to me by coworkers, and and so I think by going through maybe kind of trying to organize things, but maybe by headings, kind of like, I mean, it's got a 2-page limit on this this thing that I'm applying for, but I'm going to see if I can try to use that to maybe help kind of organize it so that things don't get lost, and maybe it would actually make things in some ways easier to tighten up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I noticed in your note when you sent it in, you said you want to figure out how to prioritize it to keep it to 2 pages. And I would definitely use an acronym that I like to share with people. The acronym is FIRST, FIRST. Mm-hmm. And the F is for facts and figures, which you're great about. You have a lot of that in here. The importance, the I is for importance. And you talk about that. I would want that to be brought out just a little bit more, a little stronger. And you kind of pepper it throughout the piece, but I'd love to see it in one shot, you know, like very concise. The R in first is for results. The results that you intend to happen, the outcome, the results, the vision. That was a little bit weak in the letter. I wanted to see more about what actually will happen. You talked about it. You did address it. Again, it was a little bit buried, and I'd love to have that pulled out and really shine. You talked about the S in first is for solution, the specifics of what you're proposing. And again, you have that. It's a little bit muddled, and I'd like to see it concisely saying, this is what we're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And the T is for your track record or your testimonials. And you do talk a little bit about that toward the beginning when you talk about what you've done since your founding in 1998. So just a few other comments I'm going to make since I don't have a lot of time here. I noticed that the sentences, although they were information-packed, they tended to be long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would really think about tightening them up and keeping them to 14 to 20 words as kind of a guideline.
Okay.
And watching for run-on sentences, of course. So I think a lot of this is going to be about summarize, right? Because you've got a lot of information, and it's really about prioritizing it and making it as concise as you possibly can.
Gotcha.
Another thing that I saw, there were some words in there that I was unfamiliar with. For example, in the third sentence there, it says, Main Stem, Copper River. I don't know what Main Stem is. I can kind of guess.
Yeah, that's kind of river lingo. So
river talk, right? Okay. Yeah, and that's important to know if your funder is keen on that. Like, are they hip to the lingo? Then you can use it. But if they're not, then it's going to throw them.
Yeah, definitely.
So watch for that. All right, so that first paragraph, as I said when I was going through the sample format, that PDF that I shared, I'd like that first paragraph to cover the basics, what I call basics, kind of the summary. So you can go back to that sample format and just pull out what, you know, the who, what, when, where, and then the dollar amount, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
I loved, as Denora did, I loved the talk about how it's an important space for biologists and environmental leaders, et cetera. So I liked that. That was really talking about why this area must be preserved. And I wanted to see a little bit more about what's threatening the area.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was kind of peppered throughout the letter, but it wasn't really right up there in a concise way.
Our particular organization, we try not to, like, we are kind of environmental, but we're also sort of economic development, so we try not to bash too hard on some of the local development stuff. But, I mean, there's a big difference between an access road and a, you know, oil pipeline or something. So.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. And then, let's see, 1, 2, 3 paragraph, the third paragraph. I love the last sentence or the last part of the sentence there. The organization has extensive experience with drawing diverse partners together to capitalize on their respective expertise and resources. That is really about your organizational background, and that's something that I would pull out. The rest of that paragraph, though, I'm not sure that you need to talk about all those other programs right now.
Okay.
In a letter of intent, because it's kind of confusing.
Gotcha.
That's not really what you're asking for, right?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that kind of that sentence summarizes what you really wanted to say. So I loved that. That statistic you used, I think it's on page 2 from the Alaska Department of Labor.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the footnote, and it's March 1999. That's
it was some old. I realized later it was some old boilerplate.
Okay. Just wanted to point that out. So in general, as I said before, I wanted to see the request amount and what you're requesting money for to be very clearly laid out. You could even do that as a subhead.
Okay.
I love that you're answering the question, so what? Right? Why is this program important? And focusing especially on the salmon and the young people. So I would want that to be very, you know, very clearly defined again. So
okay.
In general, I liked a lot of the stuff. I just felt like it needed to be a little more organized and just tightened up a little bit.
That's how I felt kind of going into this, too, so I'm glad that you've got a nice template for working with.
Sure. Okay, so let's go back to the main website. We just have a couple minutes left, and I want to share some other brief information. So after the sample 2, if you click on that link, that talks about the Grant Writers Fast Track Coaching Program, which I'm going to be starting next week. It's specifically for grant writers who are beginners or intermediate in the field. And there's some more information here. We'll be doing a lot of what we did today, only on a much broader scale, 5 weeks worth. In a very small group, we're going to be looking at each individual's work, giving a lot of individual attention. And we're going to be training on topics that people specifically want to hear about. So there are lots of topics within the funding world that we could be addressing, and this program will be very customized to the people in the group. So just wanted to let you know about that. I do have a few spots left in that program. Let's go back one more to the last link here under downloads for the call. If you click on that last link, that will take you to the archive for Writing Wednesday's calls for the last 3 months. And I always offer the recordings from the last 3 months for free right here on the website last month. We did Writing Wednesday's call on planning your grant writing for this year. So I just wanted to bring your attention to that. That kind of goes with today's Writing Wednesday's call on the topic of grant writing, so that might be of interest to you as well. So at this point, I want to thank you again for coming to Writing Wednesdays and participating so much and so well. You will find a recording of this call on right here in the Running Wednesdays archive. You'll also be receiving it via email. And the next Running Wednesdays call will be 1 month from today, March 5th, Wednesday, March 5th. We always have Writing Wednesdays calls on the first Wednesday of the month, unless there's a holiday that causes a little bit of scheduling problem. But usually, again, first Wednesday of the month, and next Wednesday, March 5th, we'll be focusing on the importance of graphic design and layout to accompany our text. And this is pretty much across the board for all kinds of documents that we might write. We're going to be speaking with a special guest who is a graphic designer. So not me, I'm not a graphic designer, but I work with them, and I really understand the importance of graphic design, and I wanted to share that kind of from the horse's mouth with you all. So again, thank you for coming, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Happy writing, and goodbye for now.
Thank you, Dahlia.
Thank you.